Napster. That name conjures nostalgia for online music fans and fury from music industry executives. Launched in 1999, Napster was the platform of choice for file sharers eager to swap music, and it was the almost immediate target of lawsuits from musicians and record labels. The weight of those suits finally shut Napster down 2 years ago. But like the record industry's personal nightmare, Napster just never seems to go away. It's back. So is Shenny Jardin. She joins us regularly to talk about popular technology. What's going on here?
Well, Alex, Napster is no longer the enemy. First, the record industry beat them in the courts, and then they joined them. The service relaunches tomorrow, October 29th. And let's remember, at the peak of its popularity, the original Napster had over 60 million users worldwide. It was created by coder Sean Fanning in 1999. He now serves as an advisor to the new company, which was bought out by CD software maker Roxio for $5 million in 2001. But the new application bears very little resemblance to the old and is no longer a rogue application. Napster 2.0 involves agreements with most of the major record labels, and the music isn't free anymore.
Well, tell me, what does this new Napster look like, and how does it work?
For starters, it bears very little resemblance to Napster 1.0. The software is markedly improved. You'll also notice a number of similarities to Apple's iTunes software, which launched for Macintosh in March and launched just recently for Windows. They're very good CD burning facilities, which is not surprising when you remember who owns Napster, Roxio, the CD software making company. There are some interesting branding things that are about to happen with Napster also. Microsoft has just announced that it will include Napster in some 2004 Windows XP releases. Gateway, the computer manufacturer, is going to bundle it with some PCs. And Samsung, the electronics manufacturer, is about to release a Napster-branded 20-gigabyte music player, digital music player, that sells for $399, which is exactly the same as the iPod, and has surprisingly, suspiciously similar user interface, but does include some features that the iPod does not.
Does the embrace now of Napster by the recording industry mean a shift in the industry's thinking, a recognition that online music is, that's just part of life now?
It would certainly appear that way. And really, the success of Napster and iTunes, these are the most recognized brands in the digital music space right now, are going to determine how this game is going to be played in the future. But there are three rules that everyone has to play by, three things that determine the success or failure of any one of these services, and those are the cost involved for the user, how much it costs to purchase a song, the ease of use of the application, and the size of the catalog. Right now, Napster says it's going to start out of the gate offering 500,000 songs to choose from. Apple iTunes offers, I think, 100,000 less, and the nearest competitor, Music Match, offers somewhere around 250,000 songs. So I know that for me as a user, that's one of the most important points, and I think that'll be the same for a number of the other folks who try out Napster when it launches tomorrow.
Shenny Jardin joins us regularly to talk about stuff like this, and you can read her work in Wired Magazine and online at boingboing.net. Thanks, Shenny.
Thank you, Alex.